Hello and welcome to Web Hack Wednesday. I'm Martin Beebe.
I'm Martin Kern.
And this week we met up with, I met up with
James Roswell
from 51 Degrees to discuss browser detection, which is a little known phenomenon which we've learned an awful lot about over the past six months. But anyway, over to the other studio where I will transport. We first met down in Brighton, I think. I was doing a talk
at Reasons 2.
At Reasons 2, Reasons to be Creative. But I showed off a website which was called modern.ie, now called dev.microsoftedge.com. And one of the tests that we run is browser detection. We detect if the website which you scan is doing any form of browser detection. And it's a pretty naive test in that it just looks for navigator.useragent. And you came up after the sort of talk and just said, I've got a company which do a little bit more sort of stuff with browser detection.
Well, that's right. So the screen we've got here is the one you just referred to. It's looking at navigator.useragent. And typically, what the JavaScript will be doing is looking for a series of characters within that user agent. So if I take a Microsoft user agent, the one that I've got here is from a Windows phone, we can see it's made up of a series of different substrings. And a regular expression or just a string query that's looking for Android, for example, would pick that up in this user agent, or maybe iPhone as well is in there as well. It's one from a Windows Phone Lumia device. And it would detect it as that type of device. And clearly, we know, because we've actually seen the physical device and we've got access to them, that's not the case. It is, in fact, a Windows phone. And therefore, what we do with device detection is going a lot further than using regular expressions and just simple string comparison.
I suppose this has been since I've been involved in web development, this has been a problem. In that, as a developer, as a web developer, you sometimes might want to know, look, what device, what browser, what thing are they using to connect to me? Because then you could potentially make assumptions about what kind of content you should serve. And I guess the user agent string problem comes from the fact that browsers know that you do this as web developers, so they pretend to be other browsers so that you serve them the same content. Because ultimately, a browser manufacturer wants the content, the same content as another browser manufacturer. So I know back in the day, Internet Explorer 5 would have wanted to be just like Netscape. So generally, the general principle is, if you're doing browser detection and you're doing it naively, as in you're just doing, in your JavaScript code, you are writing navigator.useragent, and you've written that, and you're not a library manufacturer, and you don't really know what you're doing, and you're just detecting if IE, if Chrome, if Firefox, then you're probably not doing a great job. It's probably something you should avoid.
Yeah, and you should be using feature detection find out whether the device actually has a particular piece of functionality. It's not a particularly sensible thing to do. And I think the thing you're sort of saying there is by detecting for the presence of iPhone or detecting the presence of Opera, that's a very static check. If time moves on, do you really update your code as frequently as browser updates come out?
Yeah.
Well, the answer is you don't.
Yeah.
If you have a database that updates daily, weekly, monthly, then that database can be refreshed and updated as long as there's a sensible professional organization that's standing behind it.
Yeah. So is that roughly what your company are doing?
We are a company that does two things. Firstly, we keep a database of everything. So devices, browsers, operating systems, even crawlers we track as well. So we have over 30,000 different physical web-enabled devices that we're tracking. These are separate models of device. All the major browsers, many of the popular web applications as well, and also the crawlers.
My understanding is that people are using this kind of information to not just determine features of browsers, but more to kind of hone the performance and the kind of content that's being served.
Well, if you take retailing, for example, e-commerce, we have Wiggle.com as a customer. They're a European cycling company. Cycling retailer.
I know them not from personal use, but there is a lot of middle-aged men in Lycra, which work in our team, who always seem to be on Wiggle, ordering really expensive pedals and things.
And that's a really good example. So they have great brand loyalty.
Yeah.
They've done really, really well. Now, if you sell cycling products, at one end you might have a £20 or $20 pair of gloves, and the other and you might have a £2,000-£3,000 titanium mountain bike.
Yeah.
Now, through analysis, understanding how the type of device impacts the purchase decision is quite important. So what you find in the autumn, just before you move to daylight saving time, is there's a higher propensity to buy new lights, buy more autumn or winter clothing, and that's done on the commute on the way home.
Right.
But a more considered purchase, like a titanium mountain bike,
yeah. You have to be pretty wealthy to make that decision off the...
You do, and you probably want to research it a bit more.
Yeah.
So the way, not just the interface for the e-commerce experience is laid out so that it's faster on mobile,
yeah.
It's optimized for 6 square inches of screen space rather than 100 square inches of screen space, where you've got different user interface metaphors that you can use, where you've got different bandwidth kind of assumptions that you can make, all has an impact, as well as the catalogue that's displayed in the products that are given more or less prominence. And that has bottom line impact on revenue, particularly when those lower value items are more susceptible to the impulse purchase.
It seems to me, at least, I've been involved in web development for quite some time, and there's definitely a seesaw sort of which happens where there's kind of people will favor doing stuff in the client side or favor doing stuff on the server side. And it's at the moment there's a big trend around responsive web development. You know, there is stuff that you can do on the server which will improve the experience as well. And I think it's far too easy for people to just discount the server side of things and just go, I want to be able to detect everything in the browser on the front end of stuff and just ignore the server side entirely.
Yeah, to optimize for revenue, you need to use both. On the 7th of October, Google, supported by authoritative voices like the BBC, The Guardian, The Wall Street Journal, and Adobe, launched accelerated mobile pages, which is the screen I've got up here.
Yep.
And what they're saying is that if a page takes too long to load and it loses the reader, then the publisher's lost the opportunity to earn revenue.
Yeah.
And when you drill into accelerated mobile pages, it's basically advocating a separate page, not necessarily a separate URL or redirection or anything like that, but a separate page for mobile devices, which is specifically optimized for speed.
Can you show us how you would do this sort of stuff?
Yes, I can, yeah. And I'll create a new... I'll attempt to create a new... web project.
Okay.
And I'll just use web forms to start with. I'll do MVC in a minute. Okay. So we're going into NuGet, you search for 51 degrees, install the top one that comes up, the bottom one is for web matrix.
Okay.
So 51 degrees has now been installed. What I can now do, so I can go to my default page. And I'll just put in this bit at the top, put a heading, and we'll call request.browser is mobile device. So this is a interface that kind of is part of the legacy of the .NET web platform.
Yeah, I remember seeing this as a big thing in like ASP.NET 3 or something like that. Or
two, was it? Yeah, it goes back a little bit further. That's the interface effectively, and if I now bring up this page, I've added that.
That API there isn't yours.
That is the Microsoft interface. 51 degrees is hooking into the pipeline in the background
and injects. So that would work without 51 degrees to some extent. Still,
it wouldn't be accurate.
Yeah, exactly. But then you're someone just make sure that they've taken that step of actually installing 51 degrees. If they want accuracy in this.
That's right, yes. But it's a perfectly fine interface. And of course, it's not kept up with modern changes. So if I now use, Nexus, then that value has now become true.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. And that's the simplest deployment.
And you've switched there to a mobile master page in ASP. That's a thing it's doing for you. That's an ASP.NET thing, which is happening.
Yes, that's the standard bit.
So that switching, though, that's quite interesting, though. So you're calling your API then, but then the switching is still using the same framework stuff.
Yeah. All right, okay, brilliant. So the public interface is fully supported, and you can...
So there might be people out there which are actually using this, but they're using the Microsoft version already today, not realizing that it's not that accurate. All they would need to do is plug in your NuGet package, and that would all automatically just become better.
Yes, that's right. And the NuGet package includes that free light data file.
Right.
If they wanted a broader set of properties, then we have other subscriptions available.
This is your freemium model.
Yeah, exactly. So the free light and basic, which is part of our cloud product, they have different characteristics. But the premium and enterprise product, which is really where any business concerned about revenue should be looking at, are updated weekly and daily. And you can just plug them into the system. So if I show that, so I'm going to change the data file in this particular project, and I'll switch it from the free one that we installed with NuGet, and I'll change.
Okay, so it's just a data file.
It sits in the app data folder. So I'm putting in the new data file. Replacing that, just for good measures, I will.
So, do your enterprise customers, you send them a new data file on a regular cadence then? And
what they do is they will take their license key,
yep,
and they will deploy it in the application, and then the system will take care of updating itself.
Right, okay.
So, if you're an enterprise customer, your web server will update its data file, and then the provider that does the device detection will be updated in the background. It won't require a worker process restart or anything like that.
Right, okay, so it's all going to happen kind of seamlessly.
Yeah. So that's my request.browser. Let me now put another heading in underneath that. So I've got his mobile device. Now, if I wanted to get device type is something that isn't supported by the Microsoft interface.
Right.
Because there was only mobile back in .NET
2.
And now come back and refresh that page.
And also Dynamics clearly weren't either.
We'll cover Dynamics in a minute. So there we can see we've got mobile devices false and device type is desktop. If I now go and do the emulation magic and refresh that page, I can see device type is smartphone. It's a mobile device. If I change to something that's considered a tablet, it's probably a good point to talk about iPhone, for example.
Yep.
There are now many, many different types of iPhone out there,
yep,
and iPads. And Apple have taken a choice where they will only, through the user agent, enable you to identify the iPhone rather than the model of iPhone. So you, a difference between a 5 or a 4 or a 6
yep,
or a Maxi or whatever classification is. And so at that point, we have an extension where we can use JavaScript to get some extra data from the browser that helps inform the decision. But even then, it's not always possible to work out the precise model of the device.
Okay.
We certainly don't advocate doing things like CPU stress testing to work out the model, yeah, which some desperate
one way,
people have, some desperate people have resorted to doing.
Really, wow!
And rather ironically, of course, it slows down the browser by easily 100 milliseconds, it's just not a smart way to go, given that you're trying to improve performance.
Yeah, exactly.
So you mentioned Dynamics. So let's move on and create a MVC website.
Okay.
And do the same thing. So we've now got our MVC application. Of course, first thing we need to do is install the 51 degrees component. Exactly the same as before.
Take the top one.
Yep.
I love it how everyone always closes down their readmes.
I read that one.
No, but they say that, everyone says that. Now, you read the README, but I'm going to close it down.
There's a big yellow box in there because we'll talk a little bit about memory and performance in a minute, but we used to embed the basic data file in the assembly, which meant you had about 7 megabytes, which was part of the assembly.
Yep.
And we did that because we didn't want people to get into trouble because they didn't have the data file there. As the data file got bigger, as the device combinations was growing, we took it out of the assembly and put a massive yellow box. And our number one support query from people using the .NET platform is, it's not finding a data file, which is what the yellow box is for.
Yeah.
So
read the manual.
Read the manual, exactly. So we've now got 51 degrees installed. And I'll start off with the controller. I've got some code I prepared earlier, which I'll cut and paste across, where we intercept the initialize, we override the initialize of the controller. So what we're doing is adding to the view bag the result of device detection.
Cool. Yep.
We'll just resolve that. Okay, so we're taking the result of device detection, and we're doing this explicitly in MVC rather than being part of the pipeline.
If you just up your font size of just a tad. There's a great feature inside of Visual Studio I'm about to show you. I've seen what you just did there. Yeah. You were hunting around the menu writing for font, right? Just in the top quick launch, just put the word font. And then font environment colors, that's it. And if you just update it, say, I don't know, 16, something like that.
Fastest machine.
So it was the greatest feature.
Yeah.
I don't know if, it's a, if you just take it from 10 to say
16,
it will be a little bit big. But this is weirdly the
video. There we go.
You might have to adjust your windows a little bit, but I find that this it works better on videos to be that sort of size. But that's one of the best features in Visual Studio. It's that little box. If you never need to look across a menu ever again, just type the word roughly. And you find it there rather than having to dig through.
That's fantastic. Yeah. It's probably only me that's learned that. Every one of our watchers and viewers have seen that.
Yeah, maybe.
So what we're seeing here with this code is we're basically taking the results of device detection and adding it to the view bank.
Yep. Okay.
Which we can then access in the view. I don't need to create a model because I'm just using the 51 degrees result. But if you want to create your own model to add some extra information. Then, and of course, you can. So, if I now come into the view, and I'll do the same thing again, I'll just put a big old heading in, mobile, and then.
Yeah. Okay.
So
cool.
We're accessing the match object through the view bag, and then to mention what I talked about earlier. So the difference value, for example, that's all accessible through here. I've always got a problem typing today. So we could add difference in, or if I wanted to add the method, I could get that as well. So we can see here the match method is exact, so it's precise match and no difference at all.
So that was where if it determined, okay, this is Chrome, but this is a newer version that we have in our data file, and there appears to be like two or three different versions of Chrome out there, like difference between the version, maybe you're on 45. I don't even know what version of Chrome is now.
46. I think.
46.
Probably 47 by the time this goes.
Yeah, 48.
Yeah.
It's probably 49 now. It's very, they do work on a very fast cadence, don't they?
Yeah, so they do.
Okay, so that's kind of the API. You've used it in a web forms ASP.NET page. You've used it in an MVC page using NuGet, both those instances. You've got libraries for Java, Node.js, Perl.
Yep.
Perl's long. I've not used Perl in a while. PHP. Perl was my first language, actually. That was the first web language I ever used. I wouldn't know if I was looking at Perl now, though, if I saw it.
It's like web forms. It's still got its place.
It's still got its place. As far away from me as possible, it's its place. PHP, which is still extraordinarily popular. Python.
Yeah, and there's a cloud API as well, which is a typical RESTful API, which can be used as well. There's free and paid versions of that as well. Well, we can support JavaScript as well. So if I just update the data file here, so we have customers like the European lotteries, where they will use us with Angular in JavaScript to help inform the way that the game card is laid out.
Oh, right, okay.
Because if you're a lottery, you want people to enter as many cards as that they possibly can, but you're recognizing that you've got a difference between 100 square inches of screen space and 6 square inches of screen space, and the way you present that user interface, even if you're using more responsive techniques, can be adapted when you know what the device actually is. There we go. So where we've got information about price, for example, if we're using price band.
That's interesting.
Heading there.
Do you have any, what sort of things are people using price band for? That's a fascinating kind of thing. So would that be making judgment calls about what they might want to buy based upon the expense of their device?
In analytics, for example. So you might look at the how the average basket value varies by handset price. Is there a correlation?
Oh, right. So you might be using it to find out if there is a correlation. I guess you
if
would.
You're a mobile network operator, that sort of stuff's quite interesting.
Most of these things are potentially after the fact things that you're trying to look at. Potentially, you'd be saying, well, look, this is all the data that we have. I guess you could use some kind of machine learning to kind of figure out, well, are there correlations that we don't understand based upon this huge pool of data that we have? And you might find that people which are willing to spend between 350 and 399.99 on their device, but like a particular brand of titanium bike, for example.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if you're in advertising, for example,
and
understanding if you serve, say, 100 million adverts a day or a billion adverts a day, and you're getting a 2% click-through rate, going to 2.02% click-through rate is
the
bottom line profit.
Yeah.
Our customers that are involved in advertising companies like eBay or Seismic or Specific Media, they're using this intelligence to make better decisions.
So if you've ever seen me speaking at a conference about how bad browser detection is, I want to say for the record, but not this kind of browser detection. I'm more talking about really stupid, naive browser detection, not when you're doing really smart things where you're improving people's bottom line. So thank you to James from 51 Degrees. Check out their website if you want any more information. That's it for another Web Hack Wednesday. We'll see you again next week when we're discussing another topic about the web. See you then.